Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game here on a Wednesday. Matt and Kelly in for the next couple hours with you guys. Again, 3.5 market low out there on Detroit, 4.5 market high. You get a flat 4 now at Caesars as well as Fanatics, as the hook has been taken away over there. So you can find 3.5, you can find a flat 4, you can find 4.5, 212.5, the prevailing total out there in the market. And I bet our next guest will have a thought or two there on that, as Nick Whalen joins the program, host of Prop Points here on the network, over at RotoWire as well, and at Whalen with the one on the Twitter machine. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, guys. Good to be here with you.
Yeah, we are going to bring the conversation here for everyone, as I'm a fan of the triple digit temperatures, and like Kelly just starts shaking his head, and Nick, of all people, because I mean, where you live, it could be, for all I know, it's still 35 degrees there right now, but I mean, you say I'm loving the triple digits as well.
Oh, no question, guys. I absolutely love, you know, I do most of my Vegas traveling in the summer for some reason, but yeah, nothing better than like a 104, 107 day, you know, out at Paiute. You get the wind going a little bit. It's dry out there. You're not really sweating somehow, despite the temperatures. I've lived my whole life in Wisconsin, guys, but I actively hate the climate here. I don't think I'll ever move. You know, there are too many things keeping me in Wisconsin, but I'm not here because I love the winter. I hate the winter.
You know what I'm thinking, though, as I watch you shake your head there, Kelly Bill?
What?
Skinny Kelly hasn't had a summer in Vegas yet. So like Skinny Kelly might like the triple digits.
No human being should be out on a golf course when it's 110.
Skinny Kelly might like it more than you think.
You, Nick, and Matt Humans can all get together, okay, and go golf when it's 112 degrees out.
Say the word.
I'm in. All right, Nick. So we got a game here tonight. Like I said, market low 3.5, market high 4.5. You can find a flat 4 as well out there. 212.5, the prevailing total here with Cleveland and Detroit. We get Cleveland team that was looking like they were going to be just swept right out of there and then win two games as they get back home. And we sit 2-2 right now as we sit with this line, 3.5, 4, 4.5. Do you think it's fair? Do you think this is a play on one of these sides?
I think it is a fair number. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's up a little bit from the kind of standard 3.5 one way or the other that we've been getting so far in this series. But we do have to keep in mind the Cavaliers have been a great home team. They're 6-0 at home in the playoffs. They have been a terrible road team. They are yet to win a game on the road. And I'm still having trouble figuring out both of these teams. You know, I've been all over the Cavs in this series. I bet the Cavs to win it outright. I really like the over 5.5 games. And, you know, I'm not surprised Cleveland has been able to climb back in. But you know, even in the two games that they've won, you know, they had that huge second quarter in game 3, looked like, all right, this thing's going to be over. They give it all back in the third, and that game ended up being closer than it should have. They go on that crazy 22-0 run to begin the third quarter the other night. And, you know, again, that was another game that probably should have been over. And all of a sudden, Paul Reed and Caris LeVert are keeping Detroit around and, you know, ended up being less than a double-digit point win for Cleveland. So I still think the Cavaliers are the significantly more talented team. I think they have more options offensively. You know, you got really three guys, even though we can debate how much you trust James Harden and Evan Mobley night to night. Whereas Detroit, it just feels like it's all on Cade Cunningham. You know, we're back to the round one version of Jalen Duren now, which has been a disaster for Detroit. And I do worry a little bit. It's like, did Detroit waste the Caris LeVert game in a loss? You know, are you going to get another effort like that out of Caris LeVert? I'm not sure. I would lean toward grabbing the points with Cleveland, but I might be a little bit overinvested in this Cavs team.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Nick. You and I think both have series stuff right on the Cavs. They thought it was going to go long, so I think I'm just going to be riding those out too. Side and total feel very correlated here. We could ask you about props, so anything that you looked at specifically for player props in this game, and is Caris LeVert so? You kind of laugh about it. I kind of laugh about it too, but I've been yelling for a couple weeks. We're like, that guy's sitting on the bench. He can get you 15. Like, you got to try something. Is he someone or are there other guys that you're looking at here tonight?
I mean, LeVert's points prop is at 7.5 at DraftKings. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's low enough that I would consider taking a bite. It is +114 to that number. I mean, Detroit, I think, is just looking for anyone to kind of emerge as a legitimate third option. I think we can officially say Tobias Harris is the number two option now for Detroit. But game to game, you know, sometimes it's been Danis Jenkins, sometimes it's been Duncan Robinson. Occasionally, you'll get some offensive contributions from Asar Thompson. But I think you have to kind of ride what we saw from Caris LeVert. But as you know, Kelly, you've watched the NBA for the last decade. Caris LeVert does not tend to string together performances like that. It's just kind of spinning the wheel every night as far as what he's going to look like. Most of my props tonight were concentrated on the Cleveland side. I'll buy in on Max Strus, buying low here, 2+3s, -128 at FanDuel. He's gone under this number in three straight, but for the most part, the volume has been there. He is 3 for his last 16 from beyond the arc after going 4 of 8 to begin this series in game one. He is 8 of 30 on open threes. He is 8 of 15 on wide open threes in the postseason. So I guess I got to focus on getting him more wide open looks as opposed to open, but I'll trust the volume there. If you want to get a little creative here, Donovan Mitchell to lead the game in scoring is +140, which I thought was a reasonable value. Obviously, Cade Cunningham is the primary threat here. He's the favorite at +128, but Mitchell has 31, 35, 43 over the last three games, 29.7 points per game over his last six. Evan Mobley, this one's a little bit shaky, but I do like the over 11.5 rebounds plus assists, decent price, -106. He's cleared this in 3 of 4 games so far in the series. He now has 5 straight games with at least 4 assists. The rebound numbers are what concern me a little bit because his total rebound rate is a lot lower than you would think, but he has over a 20% assist rate in the series, which means he's assisting on like 1 in 5 baskets for the Cavs when he's on the court. So I think that's a decent number. And then all I have on the Detroit side, guys, I'm going to go under 24.5 PRA for Jalen Duren. It's such a low number, but there just hasn't been much hope. You know, we saw more Paul Reed all of a sudden in game four. Maybe the Pistons reintroduce Isaiah Stewart tonight. Detroit has a 98 offensive rating and a 116 defensive rating with Jalen Duren on the court in this series. He's only gone over this number twice in 11 playoff games.
Talking to Nick Whalen from RotoWire and, of course, Prop Points here on the network. Cade Cunningham sitting at 27.5 over at DraftKings from a points perspective, 23, 25, 27, and 19 in the four games here in the series. So has not cleared this number a single time yet, is set at 27.5. Do we just blindly play the under here, or do we think an incredible amount of volume here for Cade Cunningham could just get it there?
Yeah, it's probably more of an under for me, honestly, guys. I mean, the volume could be there for Cade. It should be there, of course. But, I don't think Cade is one of those guys that doesn't want to have to be that guy. You know, I think he'd rather kind of give you like, 24, 8, and 8 instead of have to be the guy who comes out and takes like 26 shots. But, again, it's outside of Tobias Harris. You just don't really know who else is going to contribute for Detroit. I mean, I will say the pace in this series is not necessarily helping us if you're looking at some of these star player points overs outside of Donovan Mitchell. Like game four was played at like a 91.8 pace. That is very, very slow. So even these games where, Cleveland feels like they're playing really well offensively or they have this huge second half, they only got to 112 points. Detroit, even in the games that they've shot it well, it's not like they're putting up these 125, 130 type of nights. So, I think the volume should be there for Cade Cunningham. But as the series goes along, it feels like it's going to continue to be kind of an offensive slog for Detroit.
Yeah, we always say it, shop around for everything, but I'm just comparing a couple books right now with these point props for both Cade and Donovan Mitchell. Like MGM's Cade 26.5 over 120, Mitchell 27.5 over 115. So especially if you're looking for the prop you had mentioned, Nick, kind of leading scorer, that will shift book to book as well. Going over to the Western Conference, Spurs wrapping this up in Minnesota on Friday night.
It feels like they probably do. Number's 4.5 right now. And, they do get the extra day of rest, which is nice after going every other night. So no games tomorrow. And then we get that one on Friday. I wouldn't say, you would expect Minnesota to come out and win that game in San Antonio last night, but that was not the effort you wanted to see. Giving up 126, Minnesota predictably struggled offensively. There was kind of a eureka moment when Wembanyama got kicked out of game four, where immediately you just saw Minnesota getting to the rim with ease, which is something they have not been able to do at all in this series. It's just so much different when Wembanyama is out there. Anthony Edwards, I think given the circumstances, has played about as well as you could expect, but he just doesn't look like the same guy. Feels like they're going to need a Herculean effort out of him. I think the Julius Randle situation is a major problem for Minnesota. That has not really changed at home versus on the road. He was a -22 last night, got his empty numbers as usual, but feels like this Wolves team might be running out of gas. And San Antonio, again, with Wembanyama in the lineup, I mean, this is one of those reminder games last night of what this team is capable of.
Nick, we've got about 30 seconds left. I think all three of us kind of assume we are going to see the Spurs advance, what kind of chance do you give them against the Thunder?
OKC has just been dominant, right? And I thought the Lakers played about as well as they could have feasibly in that series and still couldn't even take a game off of OKC. Right now, I would say Thunder win that series in six. Yeah, I don't think we could totally throw away what we saw during the regular season. I think Wembanyama alone just presents matchup issues for every team, including Oklahoma City. I do worry a little bit, you know, about the shooting for the Thunder. That was an issue for them as the playoffs went along last season. So I don't think this is a walkover series by any means for the Thunder. But if they get Jalen Williams back, to me, that would be Thunder in six.
He is Nick Whalen, of course, right here on the network, Prop Points over at RotoWire as well. Appreciate the time and good luck.
Thank you, guys.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Rolling along here on a numbers game Wednesday, day before the PGA Championship gets going. We are going to give you our bets here momentarily, but you can get everybody's bets here on the network, not only the host, but the guests as well over at VSiN.com. If you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, we're going to let you get 14 months for just $199. So you can go in that picks page, hit it early and often. You also get the video replays. You get the AI-powered prop projections. You get the betting splits. And of course, the daily articles breaking down everything across the entire sports world. It is not just the major sports. We got horse racing. We got tennis. We got golf. We got it all. VSiN.com/subscribe. $199 for 14 months of VSiN Pro. So told you a little bit about Anaronomic and Anaronomic, I should say. There's an I in there. Anaronomic.
We've been struggling with this on long shots this week.
Anaronomic. The Anaronomic.
You got it, man.
I think I said it five times right, so there it is. Yeah. I might not say it again. I'll call it the Big A from here on out.
The Big A.
Yeah, the Big A. Donald Ross course here. We know one of the most famous course designers there is on the planet. You do look at some of these holes, the front nine, the par fours are significantly shorter than the back nine par fours. The three of the four par threes are exceptionally long here. And so a lot of the length coming on the back nine and on the par threes with this one, Kelly. And so it's going to be very interesting from a betting perspective as well. If guys are starting on the back, and then comparatively, if we can see that scores are significantly lower on the front than they are on the back, we might be able to find some live betting opportunities once some of the guys we see that are going off on the back,
right, make the turn,
knowing that they're going to be going to the front, and we can come in and like, okay, look, you're sitting even par or whatever, you're one over, but people are going three under on the front, then we might be able to come in live and take advantage of that. So something, again, we don't know for sure. Right, we don't know this course. All we can tell you is what we see. We know that it is shorter. The par fours are shorter on the front. So it's at least something I'm going to be mindful of.
I think if you're a live bettor, generally, that it's just something to absolutely keep in mind this week. Like if you're going to make some pre-tournament bets and that's all you're going to do, it probably doesn't matter as much. But if you are a regular live bettor, I think it is absolutely something to be aware of. And maybe it ends up meaning more than we think or less than we think. Like you said, we don't really know. The other one I'll bring up real quick, just the weather. We're continuing to monitor this. Looks like we are going to get some rain in the area tonight and winds pick up. And then into tomorrow morning, that is going to carry over. When you and I recorded long shots yesterday, didn't look like Thursday was going to be affected as much. Yeah, those early, the early morning groups now, it looks like they could be playing through some, you know, mid-20s gusts and some rain out there. And we'll see. We'll see how bad the rain is, though. Maybe that pushes everybody back. Something else to keep an eye out for. It is hard to... You want to try to take advantage of these things. We talk about wave advantages sometimes in golf. Sometimes the rain just ends up putting a stop to thing and everybody gets pushed back. And then guess what? Those guys that you thought were going to be at a disadvantage end up being at an advantage. So be careful with it. But if you're live betting, again, something to keep in mind.
And fortunately for us, we will be on tomorrow this is going on. So we'll try to do the best we can to decipher what's happening out there on the course and see if we can't give some live betting angles there. Now, if you want the real full breakdown on all of our picks, head over podcast platform of choice. It is Long Shots or over on YouTube, our new YouTube channel. You can see our faces as we do that. So go in, we'll get the full breakdown. Of course, you can get Wes's thoughts there as well. But Kelly, let's get to our betting cards. We'll give you as much as we can here. And like we said, for the full breakdown, head over to Long Shots.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to get it going?
Sure.
You always go last on Long Shots. You start. Right. You kick us off.
All right. So I boosted Matt Fitzpatrick from 22 up to 27.50. If you are at any of the big national books out there, because we don't hardly get them here, but Kelly and I both got them here in Nevada. So I know that you're getting them out there, rest mm-hmm. of country. Use these like for sure. Well, I mean, don't leave these in your account. You know, I mean, like they are allowing you to odds boost stuff 25%, and yeah, they'll cap you at $100 on the bet. But I mean, okay, just bet it again. Still better, but I mean, you know, just bet it again.
You bet it at other books, yeah, right? Yeah. Like I'll get to a guy I bet. I think I bet him at three different books because of different odds.
So bet Matt Fitzpatrick. If anybody has been following our content over on Long Shots, you know, I never bet Matt Fitzpatrick. I really don't like his game. I don't like the fact that he has to grind out all the wins. Like he never just goes and smokes a tournament. Like mm-hmm. everything is just like grinding or whatever, but he just fits everything that I want in this so much. And Kelly mentions the weather. You'll see. While two of my guys are plenty long, there's a couple of guys that are not. And with that, we saw this play out last week at the Truist. When shorter guys are able to hit longer irons in, but the greens are in soft conditions, they can still hold them, right? And so one of the advantages of being long is you're hitting a wedge or a 9-iron in on some of these holes where other guys are hitting 7-irons in. But the thing is, if the greens are super receptive, then it doesn't matter if these guys are hitting 7-irons in, they're awesome at golf. And mm-hmm. so like they're going to be able to make those 7-irons work for them. And that's what we expect to happen here, given the forecast that we're getting. And so even though Fitzpatrick isn't super long, I do really like his approach play and his iron play. And certainly around the greens, if he happens to miss, should be fine. Colin Morikawa. Listen, I wish I was 100% healthy. The body doesn't feel bad. It's just uncomfortable. And there's a trust factor I'm kind of having to deal with. For me, even after taking last week off, and even though that wasn't really the plan, it's so big to just be able to reset sometimes and then come out and say, oh man, I'm ready to go. Whatever the next week has, I'm going to just breathe it out after this. Like I will do everything it takes to play some great golf Thursday for 4 days. That's all I can hear to feel good, Kelly. It is what it is. Colin Morikawa, it is a risk, guys. If you are risk averse, don't do it. Mm. But I mean, he's saying, oh man, I'm ready to go. I'll do everything to play some great golf for 4 days. I'll take him at his word. The number is too long for a healthy Colin Morikawa. It's baked in that he's injured. And Kelly, if this was a healthy Colin Morikawa, his number would probably be about half of what it is out there.
Yeah, he'd be right around maybe a little longer than where Fitzpatrick's at, but he'd be mid-20s is where you'd be seeing Colin Morikawa. I am not on either one of these guys this week. Do not blame you at all, though. I think if you're betting Morikawa, you should be betting him like Matt, though. Aim for that high-end upside payout right on the outrights. You know, maybe you cover it with a top five. I wouldn't be going heavy with top 20s or matchups just because you just don't know about the health.
But the withdrawal factor is high.
It's definitely. And then look, Fitzpatrick, I've been betting a ton this season. Obviously, I love the guy. I think if you're talking mid-20s on him, one of the great conversations we had on the pod yesterday was about how to approach the LIV golfers this week. Just comparing him to kind of Rahm and DeChambeau, I'd still rather have Fitz than either one of those guys, and you're getting a better number on him.
Adam Scott, been betting a ton of Adam Scott. He just fits the profile so incredibly well here, and the number's too long on him. And JJ Spahn, and the number has come down significantly from where it was on Monday. That being said, he's still in the high 70s. I still think that is playable. We think that this could be a place where these irons shine, given the green conditions, at least over the first couple of days, and his approach game's back. Like, he can't putt a lick, but if he's putting it close, then you don't have to make long putts. You don't have to make, like, knee knockers, you know? So, JJ Spahn, run hot with a putter, buddy, at that big of a number. Top 10 on Siwoo Kim, top 20 on Ricky Fowler, top 20 on Nicolai Højgaard, and then a top 30 on the other Fitzpatrick of the Alex variety, who, by the way, is number two overall in this field in approach play. Yes, that's obviously not all on the PGA Tour. He's been playing on the DP Tour, but that just lets you know he's really great with his irons as well.
Yeah, he's been incredible. And look at you with both Fitzpatricks on the card. I like it. All right, I'm going to start off real boring. Scottie Scheffler.
Hey, he's good at golf. Been.
Long shots. That's
he's good at golf.
He's good at golf. That's, yeah. That's the name of the podcast, not the name of what I'm betting this week. Scottie Scheffler. This is just a boosts overall. Matt, boosts overall, promotions overall. I know we're way late with it out here in Vegas, but if you're a sportsbook, it is smart. Boomers in town got me to sign up over there because of a nice little promotion, and they were hanging over 5-1 on Scottie Scheffler this week. So I grabbed a plus 525 on him. Also used an MGM boost last night, brought him up over 5-1 there as well. Look, Scottie Scheffler, really good at golf. You said it. 17 majors over the last 17. He's won 4 times. He's finished in the top 10. 13 times. Guy's really good.
And he's back with the irons, which is scary.
He's back. Yeah. These three straight second place finishes. I think this is Scheffler's week. I did 2 outright bets. I bet him. I did bet Cameron Young right away, 14-1. Bet him before I made the Scheffler bet. I might just have stuck with Scheffler if I had gotten to him first and then done Cameron Young just in some placements. But that's fine. He also didn't do the winner without Scheffler market. Added a small bet there, 10-1. Really not much to say about Cameron Young, too. The stats, it's just been incredible. Gaining on off the tee and approach over the last 8 events, around the green over the last 4. That's what really stuck out to me because we think scrambling and around the green play is going to matter here. And he's a great putter. And Scottie Scheffler's been a great putter this year. That's going to matter this week. Top 10s, Ludvig Åberg. I think Ludvig's got the game to get it done. Not going to bet an outright on him, but I like him in the top 10 market. Ricky Fowler, I'm in with you on him. I'm going to go aim high-end result, though. His around the green play early in the season was not great. That concerns me a little bit here. And we'll go through the rest of these, but real quick, Patrick Cantlay, JJ Spahn, Alex Smalley, top 20s. And then a couple matchups, Cameron Young over John Rahm and Fitzpatrick over John Rahm and Russell Henley over Siwoo Kim.
We'll review those, of course, at the end of the program. You can find them all over at VSiN.com/picks. Will Hill here on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin here on the desk. Kelly, for our 49ers fans out there.
Yes.
You know, it's never too early to talk football. George Kittle on the Twitter machine says, at 4 a.m. this morning, I laid in a deep slumber. I was called to action by my wife, who had discovered a spider the size of a $0.50 on the bathroom floor. Without hesitation, I arose to combat the intruder. Claire handed me the slant board that I had been using for my rehab, and I immediately knew the spider had no chance. I took but one attempt to strike down my opponent. I received hugs and kisses for my bravery and fell back asleep with confidence. Have a day, gentlemen.
Wow.
So George Kittle.
Some poetry there for George Kittle to start
George
the day.
George Kittle getting going out there. And if you're wondering.
Way to protect the
he
family.
He kind of threw in, just let everyone know, I am rehabbing. You know, you see how the little he slid that in there. Slant board that I am using for rehab. He didn't just say slant board. The slant board I'm using for rehab.
It's a slant board.
It's just it is exactly what you would think it would be.
Yep.
It's a board that is slanted and you can do knee stuff on it because you can kind of like get into these. Yes.
Looks like it's good for a Chili's too.
Yes. Your Chili's and your calves,
Your calves.
Yeah. Your calves and your Chili's are good with that thing, but also your knees. Cause you can kind of stand on a slant and do like knee exercises and whatnot. So yeah. Anyway,
Matt's got one.
There you go. There's your, you know what? No, it's been put. It's been put in the cart several times and never actually hit purchase. You know, it's add to cart and then never actually followed through with the purchase.
You brought up this knee thing too many times. Yeah. I think he needs one.
Now joining us here on the guest line, Will Hill. Of course, you can find him right here on the network. Host of Should Have Bet More podcast as well at Not The Will Hill over on the Twitter machine. Will, appreciate the time, buddy.
Boys, what's going on? Good to be with you. Enjoying the show. Got my coffee here because, man, it is not easy. These NBA NHL playoffs, for those of us on the East Coast, I know you guys can't really relate to it, but, man, these games getting over 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. It's an early start. Gotta catch up on some sleep at some point.
I know you've heard me say this, Will. West Coast, best coast when it comes to sports.
Yeah, you know what's starting to drive me nuts? So I'm going to talk like Will's not here for a second. When I hear people say things like Will just said, it's still, we got to wake up earlier. That's all it means. It's still the same time. True. But, you know, for us out here, just got to wake up earlier now. So, it's tough, man.
Listen,
it's not any easier.
West Coast, best coast when it comes to sports, I firmly, having lived, well, Yeah, no, I lived in Atlanta. That was Eastern time zone. So yeah, so I've lived in both.
Mountain time zone's the best. I think that's the best.
Ooh, Kelly yeah. with the bold take.
Mountain time zone.
Yep. You in Denver, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, there it is. All right, Will, so game one, Pistons. Game two, Pistons. That's the win and cover. Game three, Cavs. Game four, Cavs, win and cover, which leads us to today, in which we were actually, when we came on air, sitting 4.5 at most places. It had gotten bet down to 3.5, back up to 4.5. So a little bit of infighting here this morning with some bettors on Cleveland and Detroit. You can find a market low of 3.5 on Detroit at FanDuel, market high of 4.5 out at DraftKings and FanDuel. I know this is not your play. We will talk about your play here, but as far as the side goes, where would you lean?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I guess I would lean towards Detroit. It's been pretty simple with Cleveland. When they play at home, they win and they cover. When they play on the road, they lose and they don't cover. So why even play the game? Just give this to Detroit. At some point, you figure this pattern probably gets broken, just kind of law of averages. At some point here, they're going to either lose at home or win one on the road. I don't think this is going to go on for the entire postseason where they're just going to be winless on the road and unbeatable at home, undefeated at home. I've talked about this bet. I bet before the series, then again after game two, Cavs in seven. I just thought these teams were even. I like the 6-1 payout. You could have even gotten 5-1 before game three, I think. I'm a little more concerned about the Cavs breaking serve and winning game five as opposed to the Pistons winning game six. But again, these teams are pretty even. If you're looking at it from the Detroit's perspective, they've got the best player in the series in Cunningham, and they've got home court. When you got the best player and you got home court, that's usually a lot. But to me, Cleveland just has a touch more talent. I like their half-court offense better. So I think Detroit will win. I don't love laying points here, but if I had to do it, I would lay it with Detroit. And hopefully, for my bet's sake, we just we keep this trend up. We the home team wins, we go seven. And at some point here, I could figure out what to do with that Cavs in seven ticket. But I don't see any reason to jump off here and pick the road team. It's been all home court in this series. It's been all home court in all these Cleveland games. So I do think Detroit probably wins.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Will. I'm in Cavs to win in six and seven. I think I'm going to need them to get it done in six. Cause it is just a reminder. I'm going to say it's probably three times this show. The games that the Cavs have won on the road and covered since the All-Star break, they've done it three times. It was against the Memphis Grizzlies, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Dallas Mavericks.
All right then.
It's pretty gross. That's pretty gross. Okay, Will, so you are in on the under in that game. Over on the diamond today, I know we've got a interesting bet from you in the Angels and the Guardians game.
Yeah, I like this market. I am going first three under. I'm personally going to lay the juice under 2.5. You get like minus 160. You can also do it this way where I wouldn't recommend the under 1.5 at plus money, but if you bet under 1.5 at plus money, and the under 2.5, it's almost like a synthetic under two, where you know what, if it lands on two, you win one of your bets, you lose the other bet, and basically you break even. So if you don't want to pay the juice, you could do it that way, and we'll just call it under two. But to me, Messick versus Detmers, a couple of good lefties, both have good numbers, advanced stuff, the basic numbers. They keep the ball off the fat of the bat, a lot of weak contact, the expected ERA, all the things you look for, to me, add up for 1-0 after three, maybe 1-1 after three. I like these first three unders because you avoid the second, third time through the lineup where a lot of times that's where all hell breaks loose. You avoid the bullpens. It's just boom, you're in, you're out. You go through the lineup once and hopefully you get a quick, stress-free kind of 1-0 or 0-0 after three. But I'm going, we'll call it under two here in the first three, Cleveland and Anaheim. And that is a pretty early start. I think 1:00 Eastern.
Well, when I saw this number in here, I don't know how this got by me. You are on the Marlins here, Max Meyer versus Simeon Woods Richardson. You have one good pitcher against one horrific pitcher going in this one. Max Meyer being the good one for the Marlins and Woods Richardson being the terrible one there for the Twins, sitting with the full on near 7 ERA with the expected near 6 in the last three games, a 9 ERA with the expected near 8. So yeah, I don't know how I let the Marlins slip by me. I'm glad you put this one on my radar.
It's not too late. You can still bet it. I'm completely with you. I don't really understand this line. I try not to do the books know something. That's why it's not higher. I try not to twist myself in a pretzel like that. Meyer's just much better than Woods Richardson. And you can say, well, what about the bullpens? Well, the Twins bullpen is horrendous. Woods Richardson has been horrendous. Miami, I think, has the, I would call it a three-pronged advantage here. Better lineup, better starting pitcher, better bullpen. I know you're laying a price, a small price with the Marlins on the road, but To me, this is a pretty big mismatch in terms of the starting pitchers and one I'll play on with Meyer against Woods Richardson. If you want to say, you know what, I'll just isolate it to the first five and I'll lay a little extra juice and just play the Marlins on the money line in the first five because I really want to get at Meyer versus Woods Richardson, I can understand that too. But to me, this is Marlins.
Woods Richardson. All right. I like it. I'm going to be joining you fellas on that one. I like that. Okay. And then if I head over to this little website called foxsports.com, I see this great article from one Will Hill about a great bet for NL Manager of the Year. Will, who are you looking at here?
Don Kelly, the Pirates manager. I've talked about this on this show before, but you know what? The number really hasn't moved. I think I might have been 9 or 10 to 1 when I gave it out earlier in the year. But to me, he's 6 to 1 to win manager of the year. And I just look at it like the guys ahead of him, Walt Weiss, the manager of the Braves, Craig Counsell, the manager of the Cubs. You guys know how this goes with these coach of the year, manager of the year awards. It's all about the story. It's all about the expectation. By the way, can we get NBA Coach of the Year announced? I've got some Missoula bets. I need the money, please. Somebody call someone. I don't know if they're trying to bury the story because, you know, the Celtics went out early in the playoffs, so they're just trying to make it not look as bad. Regardless, the Pirates have not won a playoff series, guys, since 1979 when they won the World Series. They've been to the playoffs. They always lose. They've been to the wild card round. They did win a wild card round, but that was a one gamer. They've been just the lovable losers. If they make the playoffs, this is the best story. He will win the award, I believe. Walt Weiss of the Braves, okay, they had a bad year last year. That's been a World Series contender for the last decade. The Cubs were favored to win that division. The Pirates making the playoffs would be the best story. The Pirates are plus 125 or so to make the playoffs. So instead of betting that, bet Kelly manager of the year. I still think 6 to 1 is a very good bet.
Yeah, love that one. I got that one in the portfolio as well. Super high on the Pirates. And I think that they're showing it, right? I mean, and reinforcement's still coming for them there in that one. Well, we got about a minute left. I just want to fast forward. San Antonio, Minnesota, sitting 4.5-5 in favor of the Spurs. Are we donezo after tomorrow?
Probably. By the way, quickly on the Pirates, Skeens, one of these starts, is going to throw a no-hitter. He's been flirting with it the last few times. At some point, he's going to break through and get one of these no-hitters. Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's similar to Detroit and Cleveland, where I think the Spurs win. I don't really want to lay the points. Yeah, you could look at it one of two ways and say, you know what? Minnesota won one of the games in Minnesota, and the other game was like a 2-point game in the final minutes. You could also look at it and say, well, the Spurs won one of the games by 7 and probably would have won the other one if Wembanyama didn't get ejected. Spurs are going to win the series. We're going to get Spurs OKC. It's going to be awesome. I would lean towards probably taking the points with Minnesota, but it feels like just a formality here that the Spurs are going to get a split in the next two here in advance of the conference finals.
He is Will Hill. Of course, you can find him right here on the network as well as the Should Bet More podcast at Not The Will Hill over on the Twitter machine. Will, appreciate the time and good luck, buddy.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me.
When we come back, a little NFL in your life. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, we're getting the schedule release. What is that? Tomorrow? We're getting the schedule. Yeah, yep. We're getting the schedule release. So let's get some little NFL in your life and talk some of these win totals.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN. Matt in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside as we roll through some interesting, football takes, it doesn't even matter if it's May. It's good to just, when you get them out, you kind of just go, oh yeah, there we go.
No, it feels great good. Right now. Ask feels me on good. August 8th when we're just like ready. We're ready to go. Like, okay, we're ready to go. We've talked about
this. We'll at least have preseason games by then.
Will we buy
August 8th? Late July where you have extinguished every take because you're in the dog days of summer. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, it's the late July where you're going, is there? Come on. Can someone open up a new market, please? Like, yeah. I need a new market.
In my head, I'm saying to myself, I've heard Matt say this 8 times since February. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And like and that will happen. But again, there's no doubt about it. Guys, if you're not already a VSiN Pro subscriber, $199 get you 14 months. Go in every single thing that we do over at VSiN.com/subscribe, player prop projections, the real time betting splits. You get the betting guides for all the tent pole events and the daily articles breaking down everything across our sports landscape, VSiN.com/subscribe. Now joining us here on the guest line, your friend and mine, Paul Sporer from over at FanGraphs, at Sporer on the Twitter machine. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well. Great to speak with you, Matt. Hey, Kelly.
It is an interesting time in Major League Baseball where we were talking about the Tampa Bay Rays sitting atop the AL East. The Boston Red Sox is one of the worst records in all of Major League Baseball. As we look at that division in particular here, Paul, like you get the 17-24 Red Sox and the 18-24 Jays and the 19-24 Orioles, the Rays doing Rays things, winning games when they're not supposed to. We see every single year they just figure out a way to do all this. Is this the way this is going to shape up? Do you expect one of these Orioles, Jays, and Red Sox team to figure something out and maybe make some sort of charge?
I do, actually. With all three of these teams, they have flaws. Obviously, they've been exploited. You know, the Red Sox offense is terrible. Their pitching depth has been tested. And I don't want to declare a dub on this next one, but I was skeptical of Toronto coming in on the follow-up. You know, that part of it, as I was late to them last year, and maybe I was compensating for that, like, oh, you know, just because I was late to them, they're not that good. And I'm not taking any victory laps on that yet. They could still rise. The thing of it, the bottom line is, and I didn't say much about the Orioles, but again, I think they've got a lot of talent. It just depends where Bradish and Rogers are. Because what I really liked about them was I thought their pitching was kind of revamped with Bradish coming back, what I thought was fully healthy, but it appears we jumped the gun there. I count myself chief among those who jumped the gun on him. And Rogers being a stone cold fluke, it looks like, that one really stunned me. He had skills last year. Nobody thought he was a sub three ERA true talent guy, but I thought he was like a firm, nice, you know, upper threes ERA type of guy with a good, you know, 120 or lower whip. That's a real nice frontliner, maybe not an ace, but a real good guy. And he's been terrible. But the way this AL East usually plays is there's moves all throughout the year, ebbs and flows, streaks to the hot and the cold. I think one of these teams climbs out of the rut. It could even be the Jays, the one I wasn't as hot on, or the Red Sox, one I was super hot on, or the wild card one, the O's there. I don't know who it's going to be, though. That is the really difficult part, because you can look and you can find the pluses and minuses on paper for all three of these clubs. Who do you want to get in on right now? Push come to shove, I'm still going to go with the Red Sox, because while we are at a point here on May 13th where we can start altering our assessments of teams, I'm still not going to completely 180 from the way I felt about a team 6, 7, 8 weeks ago. And I did have the Red Sox being a playoff contender, a team that could really go far. Not going to take them as far as I thought, but if that's going to be the team for me, that's going to emerge from this muck and give the Rays and Yankees some trouble, I think.
Yankees sitting there at 27-16. Gerrit Cole still to come. We get the news today that Anthony Volpe is getting recalled from AAA. Is this Volpe's last stand there for the Yankees?
Not his last stand. I mean, maybe he has like a chance to be the dude. You know, being the shortstop of the Yankees is a huge deal. He was anointed right away. You know, some were like, wow, that's pretty quick. But hey, he acquitted himself all right. That first year, while it wasn't eye-popping, it was a 22-year-old breaking camp in New York and putting up 3 WAR. We can build on that. Instead, he stagnated. He was basically the same guy, just kind of altered the output the next year and then fell off last year. Now he's 25. Getting his first chance this year. I do think it's probably last chance saloon to be the unquestioned dude in New York, but being 25 with team control, I doubt it's his last chance. I will say this, if he falls on his face, he could become a trade candidate, because I think even a bad run here at 25 and just the Yankees cachet, whether it's right or wrong, it's wrong. It shouldn't be that way, but there would be enough trade value that they could still move him for a big piece, even if like he stumbled out of the gate here and it just looked like, hey, we got a reset on this guy. They'd probably still get a decent return.
Paul, Dodgers have lost 4 in a row now. Their odds in the best record market out to +170. How concerned are you? Are there real concerns here about this Dodger team, or are they approaching a buy low price for them?
Yeah, they are. Like, we do this every year because we're looking for things to talk about with the best team. I get it. You know, we got to fill. You guys are just talking about filling the football offseason. Hey, you could just not talk about football, by the way. I mean, I know that's not really an option for y'all, but that's my solution to it, is to just not talk about football for a bit. But no, I get it in baseball too. We got to fill the 162. We're going to talk about all of your team, and we're going to talk about the best team in the universe with all that talent. I get it. But push come to shove, you're not going to get me to worry. My worry meter is literally zero. Okay. I could not care less. Because here's the thing. Even if things were bad right now, like really bad, let's say they were 500 or a couple games below, as long as you didn't have a laundry list of injuries for the season for their pitchers, I still wouldn't even be panicked. And we're not even there. Glasnow is the only one on the IL, and Diaz, you know, that those are a couple of decent injuries, but the offense is intact health-wise for the most part. The pitching pretty much beyond that is intact. They're playing through the season. They'll deal with the ebbs and flows, just make the playoffs, and we'll see you in October. That's this Dodgers team.
Let me go to the team that is near and dear to your heart, and it is the Detroit Tigers. You get the bad news with Skubal. Framber Valdez has disappointed so far. Jack Flaherty, all of that. What is your panic meter level there with the Tigers?
Rising significantly, and I really do think, wait, what? Why is Framber, did he go on the IL? I'm seeing that he's off the roster right now. What? Did he go on bereavement or something? I just went to the page. Sorry, I'm not trying to mess up the segment here, but I'm seeing that he's like not listed in the rotation over at BREF. It just says he's on the 40 man. Anyway, I don't know what's going on there. But the thing, you didn't even mention Casey Mize. Mm. He went out right before Skubal. So that 1-2 punch was devastating enough. And then you got Flaherty just not pitching like himself. He had a pretty good outing against Boston where he struck out 10, but Boston sucks. Like, you can't really take much from that. And then he flops against the Mets last night. Their pitching is in disarray. Framber not pitching well. Again, I have no idea why BREF is listing him as off the roster. I don't know if it's a bereavement or a paternity or something like that. And I know he's not getting sent out, but he hasn't been pitching like himself either. He's got 2 mega blowups. The offense is not pulling, you know, hard enough to compensate for that. This went from a team that I was feeling so good about to literally in a week, it all coming undone, because that's how baseball works. You lose your ace, you lose your secondary behind him, your co-ace, Framber pitches like a 5, a couple of Carpenter and Kleber go on the IL, and boom, things are in disarray. The only saving grace for them is that division stinks. Nobody's going to run. It's unlikely that anybody runs away and hides, so they should still be able to hang around. But for as far as like the October outlook for the Tigers, I don't know how it hasn't dimmed. The silver lining was Skubal maybe got good news that it could be 4 to 6 weeks, but I always take those things with a grain of salt. Until he's back out pitching, I'm operating at 2 to 3 months in my head.
Braves 29-13, Cubs 27-15. You get the Brewers there at 23-16, the Cardinals at 24-17, Padres sitting at 24-17. Are any of these teams kind of smoke and mirrors to you? Is any of these teams going to go away? I think the Cardinals would be the first one. We all thought they were in rebuild mode, but these young guys are performing. Is there anybody that you're like, okay, you are not as good as your record?
Hat tip to the Cards, because the one thing I will say, not to say I was anywhere on this, but I did like their fully homegrown lineup. I thought there was, and maybe I was just, you know, enamored by the fact that they were all homegrown, but I thought they had a nice lineup top to bottom that could do some damage. I didn't see this though, because I thought their pitching flat out stunk. And it hasn't. Like that, like you said, they're up at 24-17. I do think they're probably the paperiest of the Tigers here. This Atlanta team is unbelievable to me. I was burying them in the spring with all those injuries.
Me too.
And me too. You know, egg all over our face. Yeah. I don't think our process was completely misguided when it was Chris Sale and a merry band of goofballs. But now Strider's back. Bryce Elder pitching his butt off, hook him horns. You know, he was part of the goofballs. He's definitely emerged out of that. So they figured out the pitching, and their hitting finally came. You know, for the last several years, Matt, whether you're a better fantasy player or whatever, you've been saying, the Braves are better than this offensive output. They're better than this. They're better than this. Here comes all the regression finally to where they belong offensively. So that part isn't as surprising, but the fact that their pitching has them up this high, I'm blown away, but I'm not going to bet against them. I think the Braves are actually legit, and the Cardinals are the sketchy one out of that group. Unfortunately, just because of their pitching, I just don't buy Cardinals pitching.
He is Paul Spore. Find his great work over at Fangraphs and at Spore over on the Twitter machine. Appreciate the time, buddy.
Thanks, y'all. Take care.